Praise God. Chris, thank you. And if you missed the Christmas Eve service, you really missed something special. It was very special being here and actually participating in that. And Christ was honored. So I'd like for you today, if you would take a copy of God's holy word and open it up, and I have people watching. So I got people watching left and right to see if you're actually going to do it, all right? So my young adult class, I told them to look and see if the person next to them actually opens their Bible. So they're spying on you this morning just to see when we say take God's word. Because guess how we learn more about God? His word. Guess how we grow in spiritual knowledge and wisdom? Through his word. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's the word of God is the key. Now we know the Spirit of God is the activator who makes us understand his word. But the word of God is what changes our lives. So if we never take time to look at God's word, we'll never take time to grow in God's will, and we'll be stagnant for the rest of our life. I would venture to say, and I've said this before, I would take most of our middle school or high school students in our academy, and I would put them up against any church's deacons in the association or in Aiken, South Carolina, and have a competition between scripture knowledge, not just maturity, but scripture knowledge and maturity, to see what they would actually come up against, what they would know. And I'm not bragging on, downing on deacons, but I'm bragging on our students and our teachers and our academy, because we have a very strong purpose of making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And y'all know, if you've ever heard someone says, is your school an evangelistic school or discipleship school? This always gets asked of us, and we didn't know what either one meant. We were just told by God to start a school, and we said, yes, Lord, and I didn't know you were supposed to start 4K and then 5K. We just went to the church and started 6 weeks old through 12th grade. It was the dumbest thing ever anyone could ever do. But God has blessed that. We've had graduates. I see Trent back there from Clemson. We got Winthrop and Lander and USC and all the other different community colleges. We got students smattered across the places, even some dueling enroll that are currently in school now. But our intention was to come alongside families to join with them and actually make disciples. And by the way, we're a discipleship school, a.k.a. a covenant school. I didn't know what that meant. Meaning that at least one parent has to be a Christian to have their student enrolled in our school so that we can actually help mature them in the faith to come alongside. Y'all know, I hope you know, especially if you're parents of young children, the church is not the primary discipleship maker of your child. If you're waiting on the church to disciple your children, here's the next question. How many classes have you sat in that your children are actually attending? Most parents don't have a clue what their kids are learning because they never walk back there and spend any time with its teachers. And so that's why it's so careful. And by the way, the people who are the worst disciples in the world, if you're not careful in most churches, they gravitate to the children's ministry because no one ever checks on them, and that's the easiest place to be. But let me come back as a children's minister and say, with God's help, the best people in the whole church are working in the children's ministry. Because they're wanting to make those disciples. They're trying to change that brain, right? Transform that mind by the renewing of the minds through the word of God. So if we get, well, here's a question for you. When does discipleship begin? Somebody want to take a guess? I'll give you. Before you become a Christian or after you become a Christian? When do you say it begins? I would say discipleship, period. Discipling. So my whole premise when I was a young believer was it has to begin after you become a Christian. And that's true. Discipleship happens there. But you know what? Back there in the nursery, there's somebody singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Is that discipleship 101? Is the knowing the truth in the word of God that Jesus loves you because the Bible says so, is that discipleship? So my premise has changed a little bit, maybe. My thought process has. If we take the word of God and we instill it in babies and young preschoolers and all the way through children's ministry and youth ministry, there will be an outcome. It's like squeezing the toothpaste. There will be an outcome of discipleship that comes out of that in maturity. I believe that. Do you believe that to be true? Because why else would we teach children? Why else would it's not just babysitting so you can sit in service and have a break as a parent? It's discipleship 101. Everything that we do is about making disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we get called out and said, your school, our school got called bougie, whatever that means. We're just a simple school. We just love Jesus, and we do have criteria to be here. And so, therefore, we want to make disciples of Jesus Christ. If you get kicked out of other schools, you can't come here. We're not interested in reforming people. We're interested in transforming. Now, we would wish that every kid in Aiken County could be here. So we've been praying, Lord, what do we do next? And God wills, ask for wisdom for your pastor, because God's got some wills turning in my heart. How do we reach children that aren't raised in a Christian family? How do we go out and minister to those children? Now, the church is the church of God. That we know that we do it through youth ministry and children's ministry, but church, we're not going out as much as we're supposed to do. So in the new year, knock on wood, the Lord preparing our hearts, we're going out in a greater way than we did in any year before. Town Creek, we want us to leave 250 Town Creek Road and make disciples of all the nations as we go. So just buckle up. New Year's coming, and some new ideas that God's putting on my heart, and I'm going to put to you. And if we affirm it, guess what? We're going to get it done to the glory of God. So take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians. We're finishing last today the series called Gratitude. Gratitude. It's just Thanksgiving. And I want you to look at Ephesians 1. We've been here before in our church. And Ephesians 1, I'm only going to get through verse 14 today, because it says verse 23, but there's no way. There's 50,000 messages in the first few verses, so we're not going to get there. This book is a circular letter, so it is to the church of Ephesus, but it's also to the church of Laodicea, and so that's an add-in. When you see in your Bible in verse, I think it's there, verse 1.5 there, it says 1b, it would say to the saints who are in Ephesus. That's not in the earliest manuscripts, but you can look and see it doesn't change that it was not to the church of Ephesus, because if you came through the study of Revelation, you'll see all the churches in Revelation that are mentioned are around Turkey, that area in Europe, and they'll actually make a circle. If you could draw your finger around them, you'll see it, this circular letter. So this letter was to be read by the church, copied, and then send it to the next church. And that way, that's how we understand. You and I, by the way, we've received the letter today because we're part of the church. God wanted his word to go forth in the power of Jesus' name. So let's, Ephesians chapter 1. We're only going to make it through verse 14 today, but I did put verse 23 because our plans were to make it there, but if you went to Catalyst, you made it there, but I won't have time today, I don't think. Let's read together. Well, there's supposed to be a tornado coming, right, till 12, so we got time to stay in here, amen? Might as well just stay here and be safe and hear the word of God. Everybody didn't amen that. All right, let's go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, your Bible might say Christ Jesus, by the will of God. My young adults taught me that this morning. Some of the translations reverse that, and that's another sermon for another day. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just add a certain note right here. I put a note in my notes, and you might want to put this down. No one can ever experience the peace of God that Paul talks about without first experiencing the grace of God. Grace and peace. You must receive the grace of God first, and then you get to experience the peace of God. We talk about the peace of God that passes all understanding. And if you're looking for peace, my brothers and sisters, you'll never have it until you have God's grace upon your life where you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can't get it. It's not for sale. How many people are praying? If you hear people say, and Lord, I pray for world peace, tell them, stop. It's never going to come. The world does not want Jesus, so therefore there will never be peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and the only way to have the Prince of Peace, to have peace, is to have the Prince of Peace living within you. By the grace of God, he extends an invitation. At the end of this service, I'm going to stand right there, right here somewhere, if God tarries, and we're going to invite you to come give your heart and Lord to, your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something we do. It's something that he's extended his grace. He's going to show you in his word. He makes that extension of his grace, saying, whosoever will may come. And we use words like the predestined. You'll see that word. You'll see the word election. You'll see the word grace. You'll see all these different words stuffed right here in this first chapter going, wait a minute, am I predestined? The answer is, if we guess everyone who's saved and know they're saved, come over here. Everyone who knows you're not saved, come over here. These are the predestined ones. You say, what about me? That's up to God. Everybody wants to figure it out, and they think they have it figured out in churches. We start denominations over this. We divide ourselves over, did God choose me or did I choose God? The answer is, yes. But God always goes first. Just so you know, God loves first. God goes first. God has to draw you to himself. So you cannot make a decision on Monday that you will come to Christ, because you must be invited by his grace. His grace has to, if you will, smother you with opportunity to come and give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you say yes to God, you enjoin that. You actually lock together. And the Bible that we're going to talk about, this word sealed. I told young adults, I did remember it. And I wrote it down. So if you are in my Catalyst class, forgive me. This morning, about 2:00, this came to my mind, and I wrote it down. Here's the summary of the whole chapter. I could read this and then tell you to go home or have a nice day. Here's the summary. God the Father willed it. I'm going to tell you what he willed. God the Son fulfilled it. And God the Holy Spirit sealed it. And what am I talking about? Salvation. That being set apart, being brought into the love relationship with God, being a child of God. God the Father willed it. Is, you'll see that, and we're going to see in just a moment when I finish reading the scripture. God willed that this be done. It was his plan and his purpose. The Son of God came to fulfill what the Father's will was. And the Bible says that God the Holy Spirit come to seal the deal, if you will. The will of God, the Holy Spirit sealed it. So you'll see the Trinity. So those people that are your friends or family say, I don't believe in the Trinity. There is no Trinity. Just have them read the first 14 verses of Ephesus and Ephesians and deny what the Word of God says. You'll see the Father here. You're going to see the Son here. And you will see the Holy Spirit right here in these first 14 verses. So those people who say there is no Trinity, there's no Trinitarian God, don't know the Scripture. Amen? And if you don't believe it, let's read together. Let's go. Verse 3. Paul starts where we should always start in our prayer and praise. Blessed be the God and Father, that's God the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's God the Son, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And your Bible might, if that italics is there, that's not an original. Let's just help us understand. So it should be blessing in the heavenly in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, there's the Son again, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Whose will? The Son and the Father's will. Let's continue. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him, and you'll see that word over and over again, in him. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Whew. Don't you love pronouns? Don't you love pronouns? Pronouns matter, just by the way, in our society today. All right, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of, what does your Bible say? His glory. Verse 13, sounds redundant. We're getting here, mouth's getting dry. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And guess who that is? That's the Holy Spirit. Good. All right. Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Whew. That's a bunch of sermons right there together, but let's take it. And I'm going to have to, again, we're shooting skeet and skipping rocks, but we're going to get to the Word of God today. How do we make this application of thank you, Jesus, of gratitude? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing what you do. Let's pray. Father God, your Word is heavy. This is so much information. And I know Ephesians is often said to be a hard book to understand and people skip it. But Lord, we can't skip your word. You tell us to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. And Lord, would you give us the power through the Holy Spirit to understand, to have ears that hear, have my mouth, Lord, that speaks. But Lord, we know that your Spirit speaks to our hearts. Open our hearts so we might hear what you have to say to us today. Because Lord, this is application 101 to discipleship to our hearts, those of us that are saved. We love you. We thank you. And Lord, we need your understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. All right, go to your notes if you would. And today's sermon is every spiritual blessing. And this morning, Catalyst was church. We have it all, right? You have everything you need to live the Christian life, plus some, plus more, really. It's the power of God within you. Let's look and see. I ran into a man. I told the students this week before last that he came out. He had an oxygen mask on. And he had a tube running out of either his kidneys or somewhere else. He was needing help. He was in the place I was in, and he came out and he goes, "You know that we're God's." I said, well, brother, we're not God's. What, you need to read the Bible. I said, well, I'm a Baptist minister. I read on a regular basis. Well, I put him back. And I said, listen, the Bible's very clear. We can be children of God. And I said, you're pulling the Psalms where it says those in authority were gods. They were treated as gods. Pharaoh was treated as a god. The president of the United States, if you were writing it back then, you would write, he's a god of America, right? He's in authority. He's in a position of authority. Not a god, but in a strong position of authority that can actually give or take, right? We're going to read the word. Here's another word for the economy for this week and for our news. How about the word pardon? Has that affected anybody in the last 2 weeks? The word pardon, you've been reading about, I can't believe he did that. How many of you guys actually were really ticked off that the President of the United States pardoned these people? Raise your hand. I was too, because it was not fair. They were actually criminals convicted. But I got to tell you something, before we leave here today, don't leave here without knowing that you, my brother, my sisters, have been pardoned from your sins. You are guilty as the person on death row, and it's not the president that pardoned you, because he does it unrighteously, because he makes decisions as he wishes. It is God who pardoned you, and he's righteous, and every decision he makes is according to what his wishes are, right? A righteous decision. So you've been pardoned, so what's worse, a murderer or someone who lies? Same. It's sin is sin. And these new babies, have y'all seen all the new babies we got around the church? It's such a beautiful thing. We're praising God. How many of us, when we sang the song we were singing, It Is Well With My Soul, we're going through stuff. I'm going through something personally, and I'm like, Lord, it's kind of well with my soul. Did you sing that version? It's kind of well with my soul, because I'm a little bit upset with you, God, because you're not doing what I'm asking you to do. Did y'all, anybody else feel it? Y'all have too pious of faces this morning. Yeah, listen, are you not praying for anything that God's not answering? God's not doing what you're saying, that you're asking? Lord, I'm putting this out here, and Lord, I know it's your will, right? At least I think it is. At least I hope it is. Well, at least I want it to be, right? And sometimes God reserves the right, and he says yes, he says no, and he says let's go, right? When he's, and let's wait. I don't necessarily like when God makes me wait. Anybody else like to wait? We don't like to wait in line. We don't like to wait for Christmas to come. Now we got to wait another 100, 300 something days for Christmas to get back around, right? We got to wait again. I want you to see right here in the Word of God, this is the ever spiritual blessing that Paul writes and tells us. And we're like, wait a minute, you mean that I have this? And y'all, we're walking around loaded as Christians and not using any of the power that God gives us today. Yes, you do have power as a Christian. As we close out the year, this 2024, we hear the Apostle Paul encouraging the church with God's divine plan of salvation. Now, don't miss that. This is God's will. God the Father willed salvation. We praise God for revealing the divine mystery of his will specifically to us. So if God willed salvation, this is how people would get saved. When did he do it? If you go back and look, he did this before the foundation of the world. He did this before Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When did he choose salvation? Genesis 0.5 or whatever comes before 1:1, right? Whatever's before the foundation, before he laid the earth out, before he laid the sun, moon, and stars, God had this plan of redemption. You say, well, then why did God just continue to let it happen? Why do you dwell on the evil? This is a month of gratitude. We say, thank you, God. I don't understand everything that God did, and I'm not going to come up here and be the expert, be the apologist that comes and tells you every answer to every question. Because I can give you every answer to every question about God. Guess what that makes me? As knowledgeable as God. And sometimes I got to tell you, as your brother in Christ, I don't know. I don't understand fully. I know what the word says. So instead of dwelling on what I don't know and what's not revealed to me, guess what I do? I praise the Lord for what he did tell me, right? He told me before the foundation of the world, he had my salvation in check. Today, I can proudly stand before you and say, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Absent from this body, present with the Lord. I love it. I can't go wrong. I have been sealed until the day of redemption. That should excite you. Some of you, we got a whole bunch of lost people in the church, don't we? Listen, you've been sealed as well. Isn't that good news of great joy? That's what Jesus came for, was to actually, he might be fulfilling as he was living, as he was born of a virgin, as he was raised as a young man, as he walked as a man, as he walked as 100% God as well, and as he did the ministries and the miracles that he did, and as he died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. Listen, this was part of the plan. This was part of the will of God. Jesus was to be the instrument, the Godhead Son, that would actually fulfill what God the Father said to do. And it's still happening today. We are living in the will of God. It's pretty amazing to think about it. In 2024, about to be 2025, we're living and walking because God willed that we would be here today. God willed that we'd be living in such a time as this. God willed that there's a time coming where the man of lawlessness is going to take over. God wills that he's going to take the church home and take us up and out. We call it the rapture. God has willed there's going to be a time of tribulation. God has willed the millennial period. You go back and look. The word of God says so. How do you know so? Because he said so. Amen? And the whole time, Jesus is working to fulfill God's plan. The Holy Spirit says, I got it sealed into the day of redemption, right? He walks around. You imagine if we could have these. I wish we had this kind of like little, you know, you've seen all our Roman Catholic friends and our Coptic friends, Christian friends give it to us. But how Chris even had one that he didn't know he had one. When he sang that solo in the manger scene there, and the light was glowing out of the manger scene, right? Don't you wish that we as Christians just had that perfect gold halo? That way you know who you were talking to? Because there's people, especially in the South, you can say, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian too, brother. Right? And they'll talk Jesus all with you. And then you hear them on themselves. They'll cuss you. They'll trash you out. And you couldn't tell them from Satan's brother when they're out there. Right? So I wish we had some kind of indicator. That just kind of, at least your nose glows like Rudolph or something. Right? When you come up, beep, beep. Don't y'all wish sometimes you had that? Because when you put your investment in somebody and you think they love Jesus, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? And they get into a cheering mode. And then you find out later that they're separating, that they're divorcing, that they're stealing, that they're lying, or whatever they might be doing. And you go, but Lord, these people. And then if you listen carefully, God will say, well, what about you? I loved you. I trusted you. I gave you this ministry. I gave you this opportunity. I gave you this occupation. I gave you this family. What about you? You ever feel that sometimes? So next time you want to complain about the new administration, by the way, the old administration or the new one, and by the way, the new one's not going to be any better than the old one. It's just men who love power and money. Yeah, not Trump. He loves America, Pastor. How dare you? Don't leave the church over what I said, okay, because I'm not political. I'm just telling you, don't invest your heart and soul into a man. Invest him into the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Don't waste your time on other people. Listen, they're going to let you down. Some people argue after church. Some of you senior adults, especially, y'all watch Fox News, and you're like, no, he's the best ever. And you'll come and tell me after church or send me an email. Listen, let me tell you something. If you've eaten with him at his Mar-a-Lago, then come talk to me. But if you don't know him other than what you've been told, don't waste your time. Come talking to me, right? Well, I read. Okay, did you meet him? People who defend people don't even know the people. They cheer them like they're their favorite football, even our favorite football teams. This is what blows me away in the South. We cheer crazy things instead of Jesus. People, I'm for Clemson, I'm from Carolina, and never went to that school, university. Preacher, what team are you rooting for? The ones I paid college tuition for, right? And they're done. And my kids come through. I was a bear cat, and then I became a bear. And then, you go down the list. I guess, if anything, we'd have to be Gamecocks fans because they extort money for us to pay for that university, right? It's a university of the public. Here's what I want you to know. Stop cheering for the stuff. Yeah, have fun in life. I'm not saying that, but come back to the Word of God. And look what God says. We have this opportunity to cheer. Let me go as quick as I can down this list. And they're all letter P today, if you hadn't figured that out. Paul addresses the saints, that's God's people, who are in Christ. A key spiritual blessing is the calling to love God, along with the evidence of this calling seen in those who are set apart to be holy and faithful before him. I put you there, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Paul writes again there in Galatians to the church at Galatia. Listen, because they were living any way they wanted to live because the body, they had all this argument. Well, the body is the part that's actually sinful, and the spirit, it's good. There was all kind of teachings going on, and Paul says, listen, you can live and die by the flesh, or you can live by the spirit. And the fruit of the spirit is, and he starts out, what's the number one root of the fruit? L-O-V-E, the nature of God, the character of God. Out of love flows all those other lists. Love, joy, peace, patience. Go look for it yourself. He says, listen, you live like this. You walk this way. You walk in my way. You're going to get God's results in life. People will still say things about you. People will still offend you. People will say curse words to you and about you. But listen, what does God say as you walk through life? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's going to happen? I will fear no evil. Why? The psalmist said that, and it transfers over to us today. Because I've been sealed. Again, I wish we had, even those, I look at those game bubbles. You ever see when people get inside of a big bubble? What's it called, Mike? The youth thing. You get inside of a bubble and you just run and smash into each other. Have y'all seen them? They're huge, clear bubbles. I just kind of wish sometimes, Brother Eddie, stand up. I wish we'd just walk like this and we're like, our bubbles would just go, boom, oh, hey, brother, you're a brother. Let's talk. Now we can talk, right? And if you don't bump me with a bubble, then I don't have to talk to you or actually know or trust that you're a Christian. I would, something we wish. And by the way, I don't have to wish. Did y'all know that? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Bible says you'll be known by how? Your fruit. You'll know exactly what you produce in life. How you live out there is going to be evidence, listen, of who your master is or who your father is. The Pharisees that Jesus come up against in the New Testament were like, we tithe, mint, and they did all these things they did to give to God. So they said they taught so that they actually were God's men. They walked very piously. They even had cool-looking uniforms, y'all. They looked sharp, and everybody looked at them and go, whew, that's the man. Pharisees, Sadducees, those men, I wish that my son grows up to be holy like them. And they were as far from God as you could possibly be. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. You only got one daddy to choose from, God the Father or Satan, your father. And it's evidenced by your fruit, what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your text. That's actually evidence of who's your father, what your life is all about. You don't have to like it. That's just the truth. The Word of God says what comes out is what's in the heart. Let's continue. Paul rightly blessed God the Father first for every spiritual blessing given only to the saints through the power of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? We have something that the world does not have. We have the power of God within us. When you preach, you have the opportunity. When you teach, when you tell your children, grandchildren about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile or the Greek. It means first for the Jewish people and then for the whole world. That's what Gentile means, everybody else. Isn't that good news? You can speak the power of God. When you speak about the blood of Jesus Christ that was paid on Calvary's cross, when you preach his redemption, the redemption of our souls, when you preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when God raised him from the dead, listen, you're preaching the power of God. You're speaking on behalf of God. You have that right and you have that authority as a saint of God to stand on behalf of God and litigate with the world the things of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know enough. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. How many of you have passed at least 10 Christmases? Raise your hand. If you came to Christmas Eve, I know Lauren, who else was reading? There was other children reading the Word of God. When children stand to read or sing the Word of God, guess what's happening? It's going forth in Jesus' name. We didn't sing anything that would bring harm or disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ. When we praise him and we launch out of our lungs and out of our breath, we sing to God saying, listen, you're worthy. You did come like you promised. You came the first time born of a virgin. We sing all these songs. The angels, they went and spoke to the shepherds and the angels praised God. We sing scripture when we're giving out the Word of God. That's the power of God coming out of me into the world. Somebody turns up by accident and listens to our Christmas Eve service. By the way, there's no accidents in the kingdom of God because his will is being done day by day. God's word goes forth. Listen, that's how we actually express the power of God. Well, look at this. God foresaw the adoption of all saints for himself according to his good pleasure. All saints in Jesus are saved by God's grace. Read Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. I put there for you in your word. Paul's very clear. Listen, we're saved by grace, right? His grace through faith. Well, where does the grace come from? God, the Father. Where does faith come from? God, the Father. He gives us everything. What do you have to do? Just receive it. It's not that hard. We complicate it. But Pastor, you don't understand my life. I don't understand your life. Let's be clear. Clarity 101. I do not understand your life. I didn't live your life. I didn't walk in your shoes. I wasn't hurt or disappointed like you were. I had my own issues, my own sin issues. I'm sorry for what's happened to you, if it's happened within the church or the body of Christ or somebody. I don't know what's happened to you, but brother and sister, listen, God does. But here's the good news. There's a strong line he's drawn in the sand and saying, listen, step over the line and come into the faith. Amen. Well, you don't understand. Okay, drop everything you have. I don't care if you've been abused and go through the worst sins on the planet. Christ is inviting you to step over the line and leave that behind and receive his free gift of salvation. So when someone says, well, you don't understand, agree with them that you don't understand, but speak the power of God. Speak the gospel to them. Listen, the Bible is very clear. You have not only that response, that right, but you have that responsibility to speak the power of God. Redemption. Look at your notes. Redemption means simply to buy out. When you bought a slave, there were slaves in this time. We've been redeemed. We've been bought out. Did God buy us out? Were we slaves to sin? Yes, we were. And the Bible says Jesus Christ, through his blood, he redeemed us through his blood as slaves to sin. We've been bought out to be made saints of God. In Christ, saints have redemption, that is deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon. There's that word. I told you you'd be pardoned today. Pardon of our transgressions in accordance with the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Mike read that scripture this morning. Let me ask you a question. Now, we have our opinions on those people that were pardoned, right? Rightly so. If they were guilty, they should pay for their sin. How about you? Now that you know you've been pardoned, there's been a pardon written over you, does that change your tune a little bit? Aren't you glad you've been pardoned? Because the word pardon the last couple weeks has had a really bad name, has it not? It's had in the news, he's done this, he commuted, he pardoned. They're using words that God uses. God, what was your sentence? Only if you know this, what was your sentence? Because you were born. Because you're born of your mother, your sentence was death and hell. That was your sentence when you were born. That's what the Bible says. The day you were actually, when the conception happens, when you come out into this world, born a sinner, born in sin, destined to die. That's your destiny. But Jesus, he interrupted all of time to change things. He interrupts your life today to change things. Listen, he says, listen, but I redeemed you. I bought you back. I bought out your slavery contract. I bought you from slavery of sin, and I want you to come and go from slavehood to sainthood. I want you to become from a slave of sin to a saint of God, and I want you to walk in this way. Well, God, how do I walk? And Pastor, I don't understand it. What does he say? How do you walk? Walk circumspectly. Walk worthy of the calling. Well, how do I find out the calling? Go to his word, and he says, this is how you should live. Watch and see. This is pretty amazing. So just remember, you are under a pardon today if you're a Christian. You got that. It's standing over your head with a blinking light. Pardon. Clint Smith, guilty, right? Justified. I got all these cool names. Sanctified, set apart by God. But the best thing has been pardoned by God. Someone says, you remember when you used to, that was the dead Clint, right? That's the old me. That's BC before Christ. I did not. Listen, I am not that guy anymore. Do I still have tendencies? Yeah, y'all know, if you're a Christian, you still sin. You have these issues like, Lord, why did I do that? And the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you quickly beat a path to the throne and say, God, I sinned. I did wrong. Would you forgive me? And y'all, this is the craziest thing on my mind is, what does he always say? He says, yes. Now, if you've sinned against somebody else, guess what he says? Go make it right to your brother and sister first. Let's go make that right, and then come see me. But do it quickly. In all wisdom and understanding, God made known to the saints the mystery of his will. Isn't that cool that God revealed this to us? According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, regarding the fulfillment of history, when all is completed, to bring all things together in Christ, both things in the heavens and things on the earth. Y'all, this thing's not over yet. We're still, how many more orbits do we have? We're riding this pony, right? Are we not? Today we're going, can y'all imagine this? I know it's give or take, so you scientists don't come up and tell me after church exactly, because we're not at the equator. I understand it. We're not at the poles, so I got this. But y'all know how fast we're going right now? Roughly, estimate it, how fast we're traveling right now. 1,000 miles an hour. Anybody feel it? We're traveling, yeah. I had vertigo a couple Sundays ago, and I was preaching like this. I felt like we were going that way, 1,000 miles. Y'all, we're traveling 1,000 miles an hour. As we sit right here, we're going that fast. Somebody's Google it right now. I know you got your phone, you can't stand it. Look it up. How fast Is the earth orbiting? How fast? Look it up. It's okay. Look it up right now. It's not that you need my permission, but you have my permission. You know, you look it up. How fast are we traveling? Is the earth traveling? We're moving at 1,000 miles an hour. Could you just say this morning, thank you, God, for gravity? Thank you for locking me right here in this spot that I'm not out in space, right? Thank you, God. And you go down the list. And when you start thanking God, guess what happens to your heart and soul? You want to get happy and you want to start thanking. You want to start dancing. Chris said, do anything that the Lord leads you to do this morning. And I looked out the window. I said, don't go cut cartwheels. Because I know Wendy, she would get excited. So she want to clap, start running and flipping, right? She goes straight Pentecostal on us, all right? Here's what I want you to see. And that's okay. That's what God leads her to do. Because her friend's right beside her. And they're two peas in a pod. I want you to see this. In him, saints have received God's blessed spiritual inheritance. Y'all, can we just thank God for that this morning? Thank you, God, for I have a place reserved for me in heaven. Matter of fact, let's stand up today. And if you're not a Christian, just bear with us. And I'm sorry that somebody drug you to church today. But we Christians, we came here to worship him. We didn't come here to let you entertain you today. All right? I just want you to take I know it's the ceiling, and I know it's raining, and I know it's cloudy. I just want you to look up. And even if you're a lost person, you get a free breath today. As Chris mentioned, God lets it rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. But hold your hands open like this if you would. Even if you're lost today, I don't care if you're saved or lost. I do care, but it doesn't matter on this. And just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And you can start thanking him. Thank you that you chose me. Thank you that you know me. I thank you, Lord, that you give us the rain. Thank you, God, that you give me a spiritual inheritance. Thank you, God, for heaven. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, God, for being you. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit that seals me. Thank you, God, for my salvation. Y'all, listen, we just go on and on and on and on how good God is. We give thanks and we give praise to a loving God. He loves us. Well, let's look at this. Let's finish up here. I want you to see this. This is how good he is. And we do this, and the reason I did that because the verse says so, that we may glorify God. That's what it says. In him, let me read it again. In him, saints have received God's blessed spiritual inheritance through his sovereignty. He chose it. It's his will, his responsibility. We have been chosen according to the purpose of him who works all things in accordance with the counsel and design of his will, so that we, who first placed our hope in him as our Lord and Savior, might live to glorify God. We glorified him a little too early in my notes, right? We got ahead of my notes. Yo, isn't it good just to tell him thank you? I mean, if we're not in church, you reach over and just kiss your wife and say, I'm glad he gave me you, right? Kiss your husband. Don't do it right now. Save it for later. Look at your kids. And your kids, listen, kids have description. Kids, listen to this. You're known by your actions, the Bible says, all right? And the Bible does say, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Wise kids turn into teenagers and young adults and middle-aged adults who still have foolishness in their hearts because their moms and dads never applied the rod of correction, all right? It's just the truth. You don't do this, you don't get this, right? And I brag on my children a lot, and I know they're not perfect, never have been. But a lot of people say, Pastor, I wish my kids were just like yours. I wish my kids would turn out like yours. Well, they took some whippings. They took some no's. You're not going to get that. Yes, you can. They took discipline of sports and other things they had to have. If you start it, you're going to finish it. We had commitments. We did all those things in life. But the kids are known this way, by the way. Kids are known as, how many of you guys, don't raise your hand, but you've heard of a kid, even little kids. Kids, y'all can answer as well, and adults answer. That kid is a whiny kid. He's just a whiny kid, or she's a whiny. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that said. Okay? That kid is a bully. That kid, raise your hand if you've ever heard that. Yeah, that kid is the meanest kid I've ever seen. Raise your hand if you've heard that. That was me. My aunt used to say that about me all the time. You're the meanest kid I've ever met. I'm like, I'll go set some on fire just because you said that. You know, just because what happens is if we're not careful, we actually identify what people say about us. And as we grow older, what happens is we got nerds and jocks. We got all these titles of people that we label. And if we're not careful, our children and you as adults and senior adults, you grow up with that title, and that's who I am. I want to tell you this morning, if I read this last part, your identity, when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, old things have passed away and become, behold, all things become new. When you walk forward, you walk in, who do you think you are? Well, I happen to be a saint of the living God. Let me tell you, let me express, I have the power. If you want to stand on the street corner, you can do that. I have the power of God, right? You can do that. But then you got to go right into the gospel, because that's the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew and then for the Gentiles. Romans 1, 16 and 17. So if you see somebody screaming, they have the power of God, wait for the next sentence. And if it's because they think they're God, something's wrong, right? Like the man I ran into, he thought he was God. And he's on oxygen and he's on the other apparatuses that he had. And I told him, clearly, look at yourself. You're not God. Now, that might be insulting to some of you, but listen, with someone who thinks they're God and they're barely breathing on a spare oxygen tank and their insides are not functioning right and they've got outside stuff to help the inside and they still think they're God, I asked him, I said, what kind of God would you possibly be? Look, fix yourself. And he goes, well, I'm not equal to God. I said, yeah, no, the title G-O-D is G-O-D, no matter how you slice it, right? And we're not Greeks. We don't have a God of thunder and all that. So he walked out. And I just told him there's only one way to be a child of God. That's through the Son of Jesus Christ, through His Son Jesus Christ. And he walked out. He walked out. That was it. So listen, Paul preached. Here's what he said to the saints. And listen, this is for me and you today, because we've got to take this away with application. Paul preached to the saints. In Him you also, when you heard the gospel truth, that's the source of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ, marking you as belonging to and being protected by God. You have the protection of Almighty God. Can you lose your salvation? We used to have people that come to church, and if you understand the different, there's different stripes of Baptists all across the board. If you have somebody that says they're a free will Baptist church, they're not 100% sure they're saved. They can have it today, lost tomorrow. Have it today, lost tomorrow. They're never right in knowing that they're right with God. If they get into a sin, I wasn't saved. And so I used to preach, and I do preach still. When you're saved, if you're saved, listen, you're always saved. You cannot unbreak the seal of God. What can take you from the hand of God? I think I had Nevaeh when she was a little girl come up, and I tried to open my hand. I wouldn't do it now because you're pretty strong, and my hands are getting weaker. What can take? And she tried to pry my, didn't we do that in here? You tried to pry my hand open. What can take you from the hand of God? And I said, if I'm strong enough to defend against another human, how strong is God? He created us. Named the strongest thing you can know in the world, the universe, and I can tell you that He created it, or the stuff that He made was put together to make it. There's nothing greater than God. Amen? Amen? Lastly, here we go. This is what we got. We just got these wonderful presents for Christmas, and I love to hear when kids tell me what they got for Christmas, but here's the deal. If you got something that you cherish, it's usually your cherished possession. You kind of keep it with kids, will sleep with it, or you'll put it on the shelf. Somebody give you something, whatever it might be. That's that one thing that you really, really, really is special because of usually who gave it to you. If that thing could talk, if it's a teddy bear or lammy or whatever it might be that you have, or some little statue or just a letter that you love, if that possession could talk, what do you think it would say? Oh, how she loves me. Oh, how he loves me. He shines me. She washes me. She hugs me. It would be that if that possession could talk, the possession would just be walking around like this. I'm the most loved creation in the world because I'm loved, right? Someone expresses love to me. Would you see this last note as we walk out of here today? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the saint's spiritual inheritance, praise God, serving as the pledge until the redemption of God's own purchased, here we go, possession, which is who? Put your name. If you got a bulletin, just write your name right there. Just scratch out His saints. And put your name right there in the bulletin. And I want you to keep that. You're His possession. Until the praise of His glory, the Bible says. You're sealed. Look at those scriptures that go with this. He says, you're sealed until the day of redemption. Shoot me, I die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. People, when you go on mission, people say, aren't you afraid they're going to kill you? Maybe I have some angst a little bit. I don't necessarily want to die today. But like I told my missionary friend in China, he's like, Bo, they'll kill us if I do what you said. Because we're having an encounter with a Tibetan priest. And he's like, if I say that, the priest comes up and goes, he's dressed like a Pharisee, like I would think a Pharisee would be, just real thick. Don't speak His name in this whole region. Y'all, we're up to the very high mountains there in China. Can't breathe. I'm breathing like this. I'm up to my knees in mud. I'm standing, we were 1,400 feet from where we were. We had to hike up because we're digging a trench down the mountain to give them fresh water at the bottom of the mountain. I'm breathing like this, my fat stomach, I'm like, phew. I just haul brick up the mountain, and the priest walks over the mountain. He's in charge of the whole region. He goes, phew. He stands there and looks at us. We've already laid a cement slab. We've diverted the creek, and it's dry. And he lays there. He goes, do not mention his name in this whole region. And I said, Casey, what did he say? And Casey looks at me. He said, don't mention his name anywhere in this region. I said, is he talking about Jesus? He's like, well, he knows that name. Sorry. It didn't change. And I said, you tell him that we traveled halfway around the stinking world. And I said, say it in my vernacular, halfway around the stinking world to produce fresh water at the bottom of this mountain to help his people with their sickness. But we didn't just come to run fresh water. We come to give him what kind of water? Living water, so that they might have eternal life. He says, Bo, if I say that, he can kill us. There's no restrictions. We're way out here in the middle of nowhere. I said, tell him. And Casey's like, man, I'm telling you, he can kill us right now and no strings attached. I'm like, Casey, when you went on the mission field, did you not come out here to live for Christ? He says, yes, I came out to live for Christ. I said, did you not come out here to die for Christ if necessary? And he said, well, not today. I said, tell him the same Holy Spirit that saved us will speak to him. Y'all, as the story goes, as you know, if you were there, the guy's standing there in this really thick orange, beautiful, beautiful robes. He's sitting there, and Casey tells him, and he goes, phew. He jerks him like we used to do shoulder pads and pull him down. Phew. He stands there like this, and I've got the creeks running. I got my pants rolled up. I got the zip-off pants. My pants are pulled up. I'm muddy. Can't breathe. I'm like, God, what am I doing here? This guy's ticking me off, telling me I can't preach Jesus. We're doing this so that we can preach Jesus. And Casey tells him, and we're laying brick, and neither one of us could lay brick. We were terrible masons. We got the foundation good, but the brick was like, it was janky, right? We're building a biofilter, if you know what that is. And he goes, you're terrible masons. I said, what did he say? Because that was short. I knew he said something smart. He said, we're terrible masons. We just told him about Jesus, and he tells me we're terrible masons. And I said, you tell him verbatim. I said, ask him if he's listening. Okay, he wants to know if you're listening. He goes, phew. This is for your people down in the valley. If you can do a better job, and they were a very good mason, if you can do a better job, you get in this pit right here that we've laid and do it yourself. And I stood up, and I washed myself off the creek. I got out of the creek. I'm done. I ain't throwing no more mud, moving more chicken wire. And he goes, whew. He takes his jacket off, church, his robe, big heavy thing, hangs in a tree, has some little girly pajamas on underneath all that, linen. He rolls them up really high, slides his legs up, gets in the square that we laid, knocks all the brick down into the water, picks them up, and starts mixing our mortar better. He was a very good mason, by the way. He starts laying brick. And I said, Casey, now tell him about Jesus. Start in Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. Start in the foundation, before the foundation of the world. Preach Jesus to him. Tell him about Jesus, and I'm going to be praying. He goes, okay. And he did. And as this man's laying the wall, it's probably 4x4, 3x3, whatever it was. As he's laying brick about this high, Casey's telling him in his language about the love of Jesus Christ, about the living water. As the water flows, you can hear the water. It was like, you couldn't build a better scenario. The water's trickling by. Some of it's trying to escape, enter into the biofilter. And he's laying brick. And the water's running down the mountain. It's just perfect scenario. And he finishes. He washes off in the creek. He gets up, gets out, puts on his robe, and disappears. And then we get summoned to his house. And our hosts were not Christians. And they're like, what did you do? We're all going to die today. No one gets to go to his house. And as we went to his house, he gave each of us names. I had four college students with me. Could you imagine letting your children go with me on a mission trip that far away? And he gave us all names. One guy was a big boy. He gave him the name of Strength. And another young lady gave her name. And he gave my son, who's redheaded, Alex, if you know Alex, he gave him the name Son of the Blessed One. And Casey's like, Bo, he just gave him the second highest title in this whole region. And then when he came to me, he goes, you. And he gave me the title Blessed One. And I'm like, what does that mean? Casey's like, he just gave you a title equal to him. He recognizes you as a spiritual leader. 2 weeks later, I have the picture somewhere in my, I moved my office. I have a picture. 2 weeks later, that man gave his life to Christ and was being baptized in a big lake up in somewhere in the mountains of China. And Casey told me, He said, after this man comes to Christ, there's no way the government's going to get somebody else out here this quick. This whole region would come to Christ. And I know I've shared that story before, but I want to encourage you today as you walk out of here, you are God's man, God's woman, God's saint, to go forth in the power of God and to preach the power of God to the world. If God calls you to the ends of the earth, listen, go with his favor, go with his blessing. But listen, you can't go with his favor and with his spiritual blessings until you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Why we have church every Sunday is to worship him, but also to call people in. Come, give your heart and life to Jesus Christ that you may go and give your life for Jesus Christ. Do you see it? Come to receive and go to give. You have the power of God, saints, living within you. And every time we have an invitation, let me encourage you this as well. Somebody with the invitation, it's the time, oh, the church is almost over. Let me go quickly use the bathroom before everybody gets back there. That's the worst time to walk out of a service, is to walk away from the altar and show other people that it's not interesting to you. So when people get up, now if you got to go, I understand, you got to go. But don't leave the service at the most important time. Walk in, listen, walk forward, pray for somebody. If you know somebody's lost beside you, pray for them. Come and ask, we'll pray with you. But let me encourage you today, whatever God's calling us to do, first and foremost, he calls us to salvation and a personal love relationship with him first. Then and only then does the blessings of God start to flow as we obey him and do what he's called us to do. Discipleship is not hard, but it is, listen, you do have to sacrifice to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So today I want to ask you, have you given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Have you been sealed into the day of redemption? When you walk around, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved, because knowledge replaces that fear? And if you don't know, listen, why did you celebrate Christmas? You celebrated Judgment Day. We celebrated salvation. We celebrated part of God's plan. The new year's coming. Why not give your heart to him and be new this year? You say, well, how do I do it? It's as easy as Paul says. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, listen, shall be saved. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says we shall be saved. Even so simple a child can understand it, but it's so deep that like it scrambles our eggs sometimes when we try to understand it. Hey, let's stand together. This is your invitation. We invite you to come, and I want to pray for us. I'm going to invite you to come today and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If you need to pray for somebody, a loved one in the family, listen, come pray. We'll pray with you, or you can pray at the altar. Let me pray for us. Father God, as we enter this time of invitation to come, to be invited to join you in a love relationship, Lord, there's people who are struggling today. People are struggling with their faith. They don't fully understand what they have in Christ. But Lord, today I pray that you would do a good work in them. Lord, that you would be honored and glorified. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.